civilization advances when you get above a certain point or below a certain point on the in relationship to the equator. But in the warm climates, you know, then it's all mañana. In the warm climates, the push for the betterment of civilization, etc., is not as strong. Now, like all theories, we can shoot a great number of holes into this theory. The cradle of civilization is Mesopotamia, the Middle East, the warm climates, etc., etc. Probably Houston, Texas is an example in our time of the problems with that theory, though most of the people in Houston came from New York. But there is something, at least in the Jewish world, to be said for the theory a little. And the Jews in Spain, today we would say they had a much more laid-back attitude towards life, which they adopted from their Arab neighbors. They had time for food and for wine and for poetry and for song, even the lower classes, not just the upper classes. Whereas the Jews in the rest of Europe, who lived under harsher circumstances and in much harsher climates, never developed that way. Never had that bent of appreciation of life the way Spanish Jewry did. And therefore, Spanish Jewry, to a certain extent, lulled itself to sleep in many areas. Economically was one of them. Spain never expanded economically the way, for instance, the Christian countries later would. Even today, that's a relatively speaking, it is a country that's based on oranges and tourism. It didn't have the drive to industrialize itself. It's not the same. The same people who moved from Spain to the Netherlands, which belonged to Spain, the Spanish Netherlands, Holland took on a completely different economic view of life than the Spaniards did. So the Jews there developed certain almost ingrained characteristics which remain today in the Jewish world, especially in the Jewish world of those who come from the Eastern countries. And that would also have a profound effect on their personal lives, but on their religious lives as well. Now, I spoke to you last time about Rabbi Shmuel Hanogid. I want to backtrack and speak to you about three other people before Rabbi Shmuel Hanogid. Yes.
Spain.
How did Holland become? It was settled by the Spaniards and controlled by the Spaniards.
There weren't any Hollanders there?
They got rid of the Hollanders. Or the Hollanders stayed, and the Dutch were there.
They conquered them.
That's how the Jews, we'll see later, that's how the Jews came to Holland, because in the century of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, Spanish Jews tended to move to Holland because it had a Spanish culture, even Spanish was spoken. It was almost a colony of Spain. It was called the Spanish Netherlands for many years. That's why the famous Spanish-Portuguese community was established in Amsterdam. The three people I wish to discuss with you. The first man is called Chasdai ibn Shaprut. Chasdai ibn Shaprut, who was a very famous person. He lived in the 10th century, in the 900s. And who was able to rise to a high level of governmental influence. He was a doctor. He was the king's physician. Now, the king's physician, in the terms of the time that we're talking about, is not like today being, for instance, the president's physician. Though I'm not aware, it could very well be that the president's physician has influence on the president in matters of policy also. But technically speaking,